Good morning. Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Young. Today I'll be presenting my research on quantifying a daily light interval requirement for warm season putting green species. And I'll be presenting our research during the establishment phase with the goal of looking at the effects of shade on warm season putting green cultivars under reduced light environments or shade. So to start and give you an idea of the effects of shade on Bermuda grass, this is a picture of two typical Bermuda grass clugs grown in the same soil conditions, same fertility conditions, irrigated at the same rate, left unmowed for 3 to 4 days. And as you can see, the one on the left was grown under 55% continuous shade, while the one on the right was grown under full sun. We see a tight, dense, healthy turf grass stand under full sun, but under 55% continuous shade, we see a decrease in density due to top growth from narrow, elongated internodes, and we notice a reduction in carbohydrate reserves, which leads to a reduction in root biomass, and when combined, all these things lead to an overall decline in turf quality, leading to an unfavorable putting surface. So why is this important, and what's happening now? We're seeing an increase in Bermuda grass putting greens being planted every year around the southeast and transition zone. Patrick O'Brien, a USGA agronomist, estimated that 70 to 80 conversions from creeping bent grass to ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass putting greens are happening every year in the southeast. And many of these creeping bent grass greens that were at these courses were often surrounded by mature trees, causing severely shaded microclimates that is not favorable for these Bermuda grass putting greens. So the questions we want to ask are, will these Bermuda grass putting greens be able to survive under shade, or how much shade can they handle, or how much light do they need, and are there any shade-tolerant cultivars out there, or perhaps new species we can use on putting greens? To measure light, or the amount of shade, we use the daily light integral, and that is a cumulative amount of photosynthetically active radiation a plant receives each day. So it's the amount of light a plant can utilize for photosynthesis, measured in moles of light per square meter per day. To give you an idea, in the south, summer months can typically receive greater than 35 moles of light per day and can go all the way up to 60 moles of light per day in the southwest in regions such as here in California. Winter months up north can receive as little as 5 moles of light per day when the light intensity decreases in the winter months. Previous turfgrass research using DLIs have been conducted at Clemson by Bunnell in 2005. He looked at a typical putting green that was sprigged in 1999, and then 2 years later conducted the experiment in 2001 and 2002. So this was on an established typical putting green. He used treatments of morning and afternoon shade with control, 41% shade, and 92% shade, with the goal of quantifying the amount of light needed to maintain commercially accessible turf quality. At the conclusion of his study, he found that 32.6 moles of light per day were required to maintain an acceptable turf quality for an established typical Bermuda grass putting green. Miller in 2005 also used daily light integrals in a growth chamber study using Floridorf and Tiff Dwarf Bermuda grass putting green cultivars. This was done in 2000 using 6 different light regimes, ranging all the way from 66 moles of light per day down to 24 moles of light per day. And he was trying to quantify the amount of light needed to maintain acceptable cover, which was greater than 60%. At the conclusion of his study, he found that 38.6 to 45.6 moles of light per day were required for acceptable turf cover for Floridorf and Tiff Dwarf Bermuda grass putting green cultivars. So with that in mind, our research objectives were to quantify a light requirement for warm season putting green establishment by generating a daily light integral. We were also looking to identify differences in plant responses under various light reduction levels between warm season putting green cultivars during establishment. Moving on to materials and methods, we started by building a brand new USGA spec green at the Foil Plant Science Research Center in Starkville, Mississippi. This was built in April 2013, about 2 months before we conducted our first year of study. For our species and cultivar collection, we included three industry standard Ultradore Bermuda grass putting green cultivars. We had Champion, Tiff Eagle, and Mini Verde. And we also included a Mississippi State Experimental MSB 285. This was sprigged at the mentioned rate on June 13th in 2013 and June 12th in 2014, so around the same time. We also included Diamond Zoysia grass, which has been noted for its superior shade tolerance, but due to its slow establishment and growth rate, we sprigged at approximately double the rate of the Bermuda grass. For our shade levels and treatments, we had a control, full sunlight, 30% shade, as well as 55 and 80% shade. This was simulated using shade tents with neutral density polyfiber shade cloth suspended approximately 17 centimeters above the surface. Shade was applied the day after sprigging and removed about 106 days after sprigging at the conclusion of the study. For our fertility program, we applied nitrogen weekly, phosphorus and potassium at weeks 4 and 8, all at the mentioned rates. Our mowing began 4 weeks after sprigging, except for the diamond zoysia grass, which we allowed to establish 2 more weeks, and that began 6 weeks after sprigging. The height of cut started at 8.9 millimeters and was gradually reduced through the study to 3.8 millimeters. For our data collection, we used percent cover approximately every 10 days after our first mowing, which occurred 25 days after sprigging. This was done using digital image analysis with a light box to give us the number of green pixels over the total number of pixels in the image to give us percent cover. We measured the daily light intervals using quantum light sensors with data logger, and it took a reading every minute through the 2 years of our study. We also measured NDVI at 71 and 85 days after sprigging using a Field Scout TCM 500. And shoot chlorophyll was measured using dimethyl sulfoxide to non-destructively measure shoot chlorophyll at 64 and 103 days after sprigging. We also measured plant height prior to the first mow at 25 days after sprigging. We used a ruler to approximately measure from the soil surface to the top of the canopy under each shade level. Clipping yield, which is often used as an indicator of shade, was measured at 45 and 103 days after sprigging, clipping collected with one pass from the greens mower. And at the conclusion of the study, we took three different root measurements: root biomass, root link density, which has been highly correlated with nitrate leaching, and specific root length, which indicates low diameter tissue density and thin, highly branched root system. Our experimental design was a randomized, complete block, split plot design, with three blocks, main plot factor being cultivar, split plot factor being shade level. Treatment effects were evaluated using analysis of variance with mean separation based on Fisher's least significant difference with a probability level of 0.05. And data was also analyzed using nonlinear regression analysis with the NLIN procedure of SAS. And this was done to get a resulting dose response curve used to determine the amount of light needed to provide a mean cover of 70%. On to our results. For our daily light integral measurements under each shade level, under full sun, we received 42.26 moles of light per day on the 2-year average. Under 30%, we received 31.92 moles of light per day. And under 55 and 80, we received 22.04 and 13.48 moles of light per day, respectively. Looking at this ANOVA table for some of our parameters, we saw a significant interaction between shade and cultivar for plant height, which was measured at 25 days after sprigging. We also noticed a significant interaction at 71 days after sprigging for NDVI, and we saw main effect differences for cultivar and shade for all parameters mentioned here. Percent cover, at the beginning of the study at 25 and 46 days after sprigging, we noticed significant interaction between shade and cultivar, but we did not notice that at 68 and 84 days after sprigging during the end of the study. This graph, we have percent cover on the y-axis, and on the x-axis, we have shade level group. We have cultivars grouped by shade level, with the letters using mean separation within each shade level. So looking at full sunlight, we can see that MSB 285 produced the highest cover, while Diamond produced the lowest, significantly lower than MSB 285. Under 30% shade, Miniverde, MSB 285, and Tifigo all perform similarly, greater than Diamond again. And under 55% shade, we notice no significant difference. Percent cover at 84 days. Again, we have percent cover on the y-axis with shade treatment on the x-axis. As expected, we noticed a gradual decline in percent cover under shade level. Full sun, significantly greater than 30% shade. 30% shade, significantly greater than 55% shade. And all the way down to 80% shade, which showed less than 10% cover towards the end of the study. Plant height, measured 25 days after sprigging. We noticed that MSB 285, which has a more upright growth habit than other Bermuda grasses, was the tallest under full sunlight. And then looking at 80% shade, we see that Tip Eagle and Miniverde ultra-dwarf Bermuda grasses were the highest, significantly taller than Diamond, which has been noted for its superior shade tolerance, and did not see an excessive elongation or top growth. Root biomass measured at the conclusion of the study. As expected, again, we see a gradual decline as shade increases. So from full sunlight to 30% shade, we see a significant reduction, and 30% shade to 55% shade, we see a significant reduction. Now we can look at this visually. You can see a declining turf quality and cover as you look at full sun, which has this tight, dense, healthy turf grass stand, 30% shade. You start noticing a little thinning, and under 55% shade, you can see some significant thinning all the way down to 80% shade, which almost has no turf cover. So at the end of the study, we used a regression analysis to figure out how much light was needed to reach a mean of 70% cover. And for Champion shown here, it required 27.06 moles of light per day to reach 70% cover when used at 84 days after sprigging. Looking at the other DLI requirements, we will see that Champion, Miniverde, and Tip Eagle all require right around the same. Champion, as mentioned, with 27.06 moles of light per day, Miniverde with 28.07, and Tip Eagle with 30.07. We can see the other two cultivars used had an elevated DLI requirement, and I'll speak on that in the next slide. Diamond Zorgia grass required more light to reach 70% cover. However, this is likely due to the slow establishment and growth rate, so future research focused on diamond establishment under shade should be conducted. MSB 285 also required an elevated light requirement to reach 70% cover, and we think this is likely due to the upright growth habit of this genetically different Bermuda grass, and future research should investigate the use of plant growth regulators due to this upright growth. Some other conclusions. Bermuda grass shade sensitivity has been well established in literature. However, by quantifying a daily light integral requirement, superintendents are able to use it as a communication tool to convince members and greens committees of necessary tree removal or thinning with a scientific basis. Inexpensive technology from Spectrum exists for coursers to measure their own DLIs on their putting greens, and then they will be able to compare their number to these results and results of future studies and go to their greens committees and their members with these numbers and a scientific basis behind their want to remove trees or thin them. And with that, I would like to thank my committee, and I will entertain any questions.
Time for one question?
Yes.
Did you have sensors under each individual plant, or did you have one sensor in multiple plants that were set in production to come up with your
We used, there was a state, not under every plot on the green, but under every shade level we had. So we had four total sensors under full sun, 30%, 55%, and 80% shade, and we used those. And we looked at the percent shade, I mean, with their shade cloth, it can vary. So it was about the same, but we did see some variation as far as percent shade reduction was concerned.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.